So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita class, stories, selected stories from Chaitanya Charitamrita. The story is called Thakur Haridas Saves the Prostitute. Haridas jabe nija griha tyaga kale benapoler bana modye katat dina rahila. After leaving his home, Haridas Thakur stayed for some time in the forest of Benapola. Nirjana vane kutira hali tulasi sevan ratri dine tina laksha namasankirtan. Haridas Thakur constructed a cottage in a solitary forest, Nirjanvan. There was nobody else there. There he planted a tulsi plant, and in front of the tulsi he would chant the holy name of the Lord 300,000 times daily. He chanted throughout the entire day and night, Ratri Dine Tina Laksha Nam Sankirtan. So generally, we hear that Haridas Thakur was chanting so many hours, day and night. But actually, when we live in the middle of the Gaudiya Vaishnava culture, surrounded by many Vajranandi sadhus and devotees, we come to learn that the more advanced devotees like Haridas Thakur, and we've also heard it directly told by Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami, that Haridas Thakur was taking about 4 hours to chant 1 lakh. If one is, and he himself was saying, if one is 16 rounds an hour, the higher, the more pure-minded and, let's say, experienced sadhakas who may be experienced over many lifetimes, they chant 1 lakh between 64 rounds and 4 hours. So 3 lakhs, which is what Haridas Thakur is chanting, would take about 12 hours. So they say, with some break, he was chanting about 12 or 13 hours a day, maximum 15. So that leaves 9 hours for sleeping and studying and Harikatha, because we have to accommodate all the activities that Haridas Thakur would engage in a day. And remember, this was his lifelong niyam. I mean, not lifelong, but a large part of his life. So he, part of his day, he would spend hearing Harikatha with Advaita Acharya before the Sankirtan movement started. He would go to Advaita Acharya's house in Mayapur, and he would hear the Bhagavat Pat, the class by Advaita Acharya and some of Advaita Acharya's disciples, followers, and they were speaking 2 or 3 hours a day on Bhagavatam. And then he would associate with other devotees, visit the Leela Stalis of he would take bath in the Ganga and go to, like this, associate with different sadhus. So if you have 9 or 10 hours a day, you can certainly do all these things. Variety is the mother of enjoyment. Sometimes when we first joined, we thought that Haridas was only chanting and that's it. He was a Namacharya and he wasn't sleeping or eating. It was just it's like a chanting box, a human chanting box. You have these little boxes in India. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama. Like they have these. Radhe, Radhe, Govinda, and he just goes on and on and on. The good thing about these chanting boxes is that sometimes they have Prabhupada chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And it goes on and on. People, sometimes when they're trying to sell these boxes, the shop owner will plug it in, especially if there are a lot of ISKCON type people around. And then he'll plug it in the wall, and then when people go by his shop, they'll hear Prabhupada chanting japa. So this is certainly the most purifying sound vibration for anyone to hear. But all day long, Mr. Agarwal, 12 hours a day, is hearing Prabhupada chant the Maha Mantra. So certainly he's getting a lot of benefit. I don't know if he sells any boxes, but he's certainly getting purified. So the story progresses. Brahmanera gare kare biksha nirvahan Prabhave sakala loka karye pujan. For maintaining his body, Thakur Haridas would go to a brahmana's house and beg some food. He was spiritually so influential that all the neighboring people worshipped him. So this is the point that generally that Madhukari from Haridas Thakur and then continuing on with the six Goswamis, Madhukari or the practice of begging a small amount of food from some grihasas was only done in the homes of brahmanas. Why? Because the Vaishnavas, they want to take Krishna prasad. So Brahmana, Krishna and Brahmanas go together, Vaishnava Brahmanas. So one of the rules of a Brahmana, for if someone is a Brahman, he must worship every day Shalagram Shila. This is a requirement. This means Brahman by birth. Whether if you're a Pancharatrika Brahman, then that's not so much, maybe not even, technically not even permitted, but it's not expected or enjoined. If someone is Brahman by birth, then they always, so you can guarantee, in other words, Brahman is, if there's a Brahman, there's a Shalagram. They're inseparable. So you can understand, oh, this is a house of Vaishnav Brahman. So without even going in to see, do you have a Shalagram? It's already understood. Just as it's understood, if you're a Kshatriya, you have a bow and arrow. Or if you're a policeman, you have a, it's understood, you must have a gun, generally. Certain things are understood. So then they would go, as Prabhupada says, in the days of Haridas Thakur, which is 500 years ago, all the Brahmanas worshipped Lord Narayan in the form of the Shalagram Shila. Therefore, begging from a Brahmana's house meant taking Krishna Prasad, which is transcendental. If we take food from the houses of others, such as Karmis, we have to share the qualities of those from whom we take alms. So in the Vaishya's homes or the Kshatriya's homes, they may or may not, or they may have some Gar Thakur or some deity, Kula Devata, but it may be a demigod, or maybe no one, or maybe just pictures of their ancestors. So this will not have a very purifying effect to take such prasadam, especially if one's a Vaishnava. But Prabhupada makes an interesting point. When we take food from people that aren't worshipping Shalagram, or aren't worshipping Krishna, then we have to take some karma from them. Mahaprabhu took prasadam in the house of Vaishnavas. This is the general process. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are advised not to take food from anywhere but a Vaishnava's or Brahmana's house where deity worship is performed. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Visha Jira Anakoila Dushta Hayaman. If a devotee takes alms or food from the house of a karmi who is simply interested in money, his mind will become unclean. We must always remember that a devotee's life is one of Vairagya Vidya, renunciation of knowledge. Therefore, all devotees are warned not to live unnecessarily luxurious lives at the cost of others. In other words, don't just simply live to go around and eat at bandaras and costly rich people's houses. Grihasthas living within the jurisdiction of the temple must be especially careful not to imitate karmis by acquiring opulent clothing, food, and conveyances. Sometimes the grihasthas, they like to buy fancy clothes and somehow do something fancy. They don't like simple living and high thinking. The Prabhupada, especially the initiated temple devotees, he wanted them to live very simply. The simple car, not some fancy sports car. Simple car, simple clothing. This is in Hanti Leela, chapter 3, text 101, purport. As far as possible, these should be avoided. A member of the temple, whether grihastha, brahmachari, or sannyasi, must practice a life of renunciation following in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur and the six Goswamis. Otherwise, because Maya is very strong, at any time, one can become a victim of Maya and fall down from spiritual life. So he's saying here, a member of the temple. So now, I guess everyone will define what does that mean, member of the temple. Does member of the temple mean I live in the four walls of the temple? Or does member of the temple mean I accept these deities as my local deities, and this is my place of worship, and I am part of this community? I may live a few kilometers this way or that way. I don't sleep on the floor of the temple. But I consider, generally we might ask some devotee at a temple, we say, do you belong to any temple? No, I have a temple in my house, I don't go to any temple. Acha, all right, fine. And someone else might say, yes, I mostly always go to Chopati Beach Temple in Bombay. And are you like considered part of that community? Yes, I'm Radhanath Swami's disciple, or I'm a follower there. I usually go there. I go for all the classes there, and I attend the programs. I take Sunday feasts, and I try to do some seva there. So then the conclusion is that you're a member of that temple community, isn't it? So then this instruction of Prabhupada applies to you, or to anyone, that they should live as renounced as possible and don't imitate karmis by acquiring opulent clothing, food, and conveyances. It means cars, bullock carts, and no, automobiles. And he's saying that such people that consider themselves their grihasthas and they're part of the temple community, they should practice a life of renunciation following the six Goswamis. Do you see anything like that in Bombay? That some of the grihasthas, they follow a life like that? Interesting purport. Story goes on. Se deshad yakshanam ramachandrakan vaishnava vidveshi se pashanda pradan. Vidveshi, I should say, not vidveshi, it's like videshi. Vidveshi, dvesh means envious. Extremely envious. Vaishnava Videshi. That's interesting. Videshi means dwa. Dweshi. And you leave, you put the V there and it becomes dweshi. Videshi means without a desh. You know, you're without V means like without or excessive. A landholder named Ramchandra Khan was the zamindar of that district. He was envious of Vaishnavas and was therefore a great atheist. Pashandi Pradhan. He was the chief of the Pashandis. Pradhan Mantri, right? Pradhan. Chief of the atheists. Haridase loke puje sahite na apare tanar apamana karite nana upai kare. He could not tolerate that such respect was being offered to Haridas Thakur. So Ramchandra Khan planned in various ways to dishonor Haridas. Kon prakari Haridasar chidra nahi pai vaishya gane anikari chidra upai. By no means could he find any fault in the character of Haridas Thakur. Therefore, he called for the local prostitutes and began a plan to discredit his holiness. Interesting way to say it. His holiness, Haridas Thakur. Of course, that word is not in the verse, but that's Prabhupada's poetic license. His holiness. That's pretty interesting. Instead of saying a plan, capital H, capital H, capital His, capital Holiness. Ramchandra Khan, the big zamindar, landholder, he called the prostitutes to make a plan to discredit His Holiness. Vaishyagane kaheye vairagi haridas tume shavakara ihar vairagya vairagya dharmanash. Ramchandra Khan said to the prostitutes, "There is a mendicant named Haridas Thakur. All of you devise a way to deviate him from his vows of austerity." This is Prabhupada's purport. Devise a way. Well, that doesn't take much to figuring out what they're going to devise. What will prostitutes devise to deviate him? Prabhupada's purport. Devotional service is the path of Vairagya Vidya, renunciation and knowledge. Haridas Thakur was following the path of renunciation and knowledge. But Ramchandra planned to induce him to break his vows. Renunciation means renunciation of sensual pleasure, especially the pleasure of sex. Therefore, brahmachari, sannyasi, or vanprast is strictly prohibited from having relationships with women. Haridas Thakur was strictly renounced, and thus Ramchandra Khan called for prostitutes, because prostitutes know how to break a man's vow of celibacy by their feminine influence, and thus pollute a mendicant or a person engaged in devotional life. It was impossible for Ramchandra Khan to induce any other women to break Haridas Thakur's vow. Therefore, he called for prostitutes. And there's some note here we have about the Madhyalila. I think it's this verse actually by Sarvabhauma. Madhyalila chapter 6 verse 254. He's probably saying that devotional service is the path of Vairagya Vidya, renunciation and knowledge. There were two verses composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya in Puri. He wrote them on a palm leaf, a leaf of a palm tree. And he gave these verses to Jagannanda. And then Sarvabhauma, he asked Jagannanda to please give these two shlokas to Mahaprabhu. But before he could do that, Mukunda Datta took those verses. Then he copied those two verses on the outside wall of the room. Then Jagannanda took the palm leaf from Mukunda Datta and delivered it to Mahaprabhu. As soon as Mahaprabhu read the two verses, he immediately tore up the palm leaf. However, all the devotees read these two verses on the outside wall. So this is the verse that was mentioned, how devotional service is based on Vairagya and Vidya. So this is the verse, Madhyalila 2.6.254, famous verse that was spoken or written by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and later quoted by the author Vishnas Kaviraj, and before him it was quoted by Kavi Karnapur in his famous play Chandraya Chandradaya Natak. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shikshartameka Purusha Puranaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Bhudir Yastam Maham Prapadye. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. Mahaprabhu has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet." This is a very nice verse. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. His own devotion, Nija Bhakti. So back to Haridas. Now Ramchandra Khan is making a plot to defame Haridas by calling in these society girls. Vaishyagana madhye eka sundari yuvati sekahai tina dine harivatandramati. Among the prostitutes, one attractive young girl was selected. She said, "I promise, within 3 days, I shall attract the mind of Haridas Thakur." Kanakahi mora paika yokutamara sane tomara sahitye katra tare dare jena ane. Ramchandra Khan replied, "My constable will go with you, so that as soon as he sees you with Haridas Thakur, immediately he will arrest him and bring both of you to me." Veshakai mora sanga hauka ekabhar dvitiya bhari dharite bhaika laima tamar. The prostitute said, "First let me have union with him once, then the second time I shall take your constable with me to arrest him." Ratri kali sevesya suvesha darya haridasara vasaya gela ulasita han. At night, the prostitute dressed herself most attractively and went to the cottage of Haridas Thakur in great ulas, great jubilation. Tulasi namaskari haridasara dwarejhan. Gosanira namaskari rahila dandan. After offering obeisances to the tulsi plant, the prostitute went to the door of Haridas Thakur, offered him obeisances, and stood there. So this wasn't exactly your ordinary New York City prostitute. Obviously, she was a Vaishnavi prostitute, because she understood that Hari Guru Vaishnav should be honored and worshipped. Vaishnavas should be worshipped, and Tadiyanam Samarchanam, and things connected. Tulsi is worshipable. We should pay respects and obeisances to her. So by her culture, by her training, being born in India, she naturally offered obeisances to Tulsi upon seeing her in the dead of night, under the moonlight. And she came to the door of a great saint, so she approached him in a humble way, Tadvidi Pranipatena. Pranipatena, Tadvidi Pranipatena, Paripakshanena Sevya, Uvidakshanti Teganam, Ganyas Tatnadarshana. Firstly, there's humility, then there's Seva. So first she offered herself in humility at the feet of Haridas, then she offered her Seva, to do Seva, Guru Seva. But this Seva was not so much necessary or appropriate to the situation. And then later she asked questions. And finally she was blessed by Gurudev, Haridas Thakur. So her initial approach to the Guru was Guru Parashraya, surrendering and humility, obeisances. Namaha, right? Namaha, Maha. Ma means ahamameti. So she's approaching him by giving up her ego. Namaha means no ego. I give up my ego. So she's saying, Vancha kalpa drubhyascha kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Namaha. No hamameti. No false identity. I'm not a prostitute. I'm simply Haridas Das. I'm simply servant, Vaishnav Das. Very interesting. If you start off right, you'll end right. So her beginning, her approach, her initial approach to Haridas is quite correct in terms of behavior. Her motivation was not so good, but her behavior will reward her. Hanga ughadiya dekai vasila duyare kahite lagi lakichu sumadura sware sumadura sware. Exposing part of her body to Haridas's view, she sat down on the threshold of the door, the doorway, and spoke to him in very sweet words. Kichu sumadura swari. Spoke something, little spew something, kichu. Thakur tumi parama sundar pratama yovan tomateki kon nari dhariti pariman. My dear Thakur, oh great preacher, oh great devotee, you're so beautifully built and your youth is just beginning. Who is that woman who could control her mind after seeing you? Dharite man, who could hold on to her mind? You're mind stealing, you're capturing my mind. I can't hold my mind. Tom Deki. Paramasundar Pratam Yovan. Just the beginning of Yovana. Komunav Yovanam Jara, useful age. Paramasundar, you're supremely beautiful and handsome. Tomara Sangamalagi, Labdamoraman. Tomana Paile Pran, Nayaya Daran. I'm eager to be united with you. My mind is greedy for this. If I don't obtain you, I shall not be able to keep my body and soul together. These are very standard mantras. These are standard mantras that men and women often say to each other. And they're the same mantras in every language. This is Bengali. Bengali, Hindi, English, French, German, Russian, same mantras. Everywhere, for all time, men and women have been saying these same mantras to each other. What are those mantras? You are my everything. I can't live without you. You are my everything. I can't live without you. I love you more than anyone in the world. This man will tell so many women, and women will tell so many men. And the problem is that the men fall for it when a woman says, she says, I cannot live without you. And then he's thinking, yes, she can't live without me. Now he just met her, and he's 25 and she's 23. She can't live without me. But because he lost his brain in her association, he doesn't think, well, wait a minute, you're 23. You lived 23 years without me. Before I met you, you were living, and you lived very nice and peacefully for 23 years. And now you're saying you cannot live without me, but you've already lived without me for 23 years. But this kind of rationale or logic he can't have. So she's saying the same thing. I can't live. I shall not be able to keep my body and soul together. It means I can't, oh Haridas, I can't live without you. Tomar Sangama. See, Sangama means, like we say Sangha, or Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, the word Sangha and the highest means, Sangha means union. Sangama. Sangama means Anga, means Sa Anga, means my limbs and your limbs, my body and your body. Tomar Sangama Lagi. Lagi means I'm very greedy. Labda. Labda means greedy. Haridasakai. Toma Karimu Angikar Sakyanam Samapti Yavad Nahaya Amar Tavatumi Vashi Shudanam Sankirtan Nam Samapti Haile Karma Ye Tomaravan. Haridas replied, I shall accept you without fail, but you will have to wait until I finish my chanting. This is text 116 of 43 verses. Ete shuni seveshya vasya rahila kirtana kare hari dasa pratakala haila. Pratakal, light of morning. Hearing this, the prostitute remained sitting there while Haridas Thakur chanted on his beads until the light of morning appeared. So I guess she spent the whole Ratri Kal. Ratri Kal is from 10:48 in the evening. Called Nishakal or Ratri Yam, from 10:48 in the evening till 3:36 in the morning. She spent the whole Ratri Kal listening to Haridas Thakur chanting japa. Now it's sunrise is coming. Pratikala deki vesha utiya chalila sabasam achara jay kanere kahila. When the prostitute saw it was morning, she stood up and left. She came before Ramchandra Khan, who had hired her to do this deed, and she gave him all the news, samachar. Aji ama angikar kariyachi vachari kaliya vashitahar sangehi eva sangehi. She said, Today Haridas Thakur has promised to enjoy with me. Tomorrow certainly I shall have union with him. Sanghe. Sanghe. Sanghe means union. So, the next night. Haridina Ratri Haile Veshaila Haridasa Tari Bahu Ashwasa Karila. The next night, when the prostitute came again, Haridas Thakur gave her many assurances. Ashwas. He said, Kaliduka Pahila Aparada Nala Ibamora Havasya Karimuami Tomaya Angikara. Last night you were disappointed. Please excuse my offense. I shall certainly accept you tonight. Tavarihan Vasi Shuna Nam Sankirtan Nam Purna Haile Purna Have Tomaraman. My dear, please sit down and hear the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra until my regular chanting is finished. Nam Purna. Nam Sankirtan, Nam Purna. Then your desire will surely be fulfilled. As if anyone hears Shuddha Nam, then all his desires, known and unknown, will be completely fulfilled. Tulasire tanke vesha namaskara kari dware vasi namashune bale hari hari. After offering her obeisances to the tulsi plant and Haridas Thakur, a very well-behaved prostitute. When she first went there, at our very first meeting, she offered obeisances to Tulsi and the Vaishnava. And she sat down at the door. Hearing Haridas Thakur chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, she also chanted, Oh my Lord Hari! Oh my Lord Hari! Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Herein one can clearly see how a Vaishnava delivers a fallen soul by a transcendental trick. Of course, the Sankirtan devotees took this phrase pretty far. Transcendental trickery went in a lot of directions. The prostitute came to pollute Haridas Thakur, but he took it as his duty to deliver the prostitute. The process of deliverance is very simple. With faith and reverence, the prostitute associated with Haridas Thakur, who personally treated her material disease by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Although she had an ulterior motive, somehow she got the association of a Vaishnava and satisfied him by occasionally chanting in imitation, Oh my Lord Hari, Oh my Lord Hari. The conclusion is, that's the conclusion, is that by associating with a Vaishnava, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and offering obeisances to the Tulsi plant or a Vaishnava, all lead one to become a transcendental devotee who is completely cleansed of material contamination. So these simple expressions of submission, reverence, and humility are so powerful. Offering obeisances. This is showing humility, an expression of humility, reverence, and simple behavior. Offering obeisances to Tulsi Devi, Krishna's Nityaparishad, and Vrindavan. And offering obeisances to the Vaishnava, Hari Guru Vaishnava. And then chanting Hare Krishna. These are three ways to attain perfection. Humility, respect, the mercy of the devotees, the mercy of the Vaishnavas living before us, and the eternal residence of the Holy Dham, like Vrinda Devi, Tulsi Devi. Ratri Shesha Hai Lavesha Usi Misi Kari Usi Misi Interesting word. It means restless. Usi misi. Tara riti deki hari, dasa kahina tahare. When the night came to an end, the prostitute was restless. Seeing this, Haridas Thakur spoke to her as follows. Kotinam grahan yagya kari ekamas e diksha kari jache aila asi sheshe. I have vowed to chant 10 million names in a month. I have taken this vow, but now it is nearing its end. Purport. If anyone regularly chants 333333, 330,333 names daily for a month, then he chants 10 more names, he will complete 10 million names. That's quite a packed month. 10 million names. In this way, a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead by yajna. Yajye sankirtana prayera yajantihi sumedisha. Those whose intelligence is brilliant accept this Harinam yajna, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By performing this yajna, one satisfies the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus attains perfection and spiritual life. And that's what we're all endeavoring for. We're hoping that our chanting of the holy name is pleasing to the Lord. He's accepting our sacrifice and will be pleased to bestow upon us devotional perfection and love of God. So Haridas submits to the prostitute. Aji samapta haibe hina gyan chila samasta rachinilam nam samapta nahaila. I thought that today I would be able to finish my performance of yajna, my chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. I tried my best to chant the holy name all night, but still I did not finish. Kali samapta habe tabe habe brata bhanga swachande tamara sange haibeka sanga. Tomorrow I will surely finish, and my vow will be fulfilled. Then it will be possible for me to enjoy with you in full freedom. Purport. Haridas Thakur never wanted to enjoy the prostitute, but he tricked her to deliver her by giving her a chance to hear the holy name while he chanted. Pure devotees chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and simply by hearing this chanting from a purified transcendental person, one is purified of all sinful activities, no matter how low-born or fallen one may be. This hearing process is so powerful if one hears the holy name. So now what happened on the second day? Veshigya samachara kanere kahila haradina sandhyahai utte takurtani aila. The prostitute returned to Ramchandra Khan and informed him of what had happened. The next day she came earlier at the beginning of the evening and stayed all day and night with Haridas Thakur. She wanted to hear more holy name. She was increasing her attraction. Not to Haridas, that was already established in the first night, at least officially or professionally. She had a job to do. But now, until she came at the usual time for such activities, late in the evening, to do her work. But now she has transcended karma and she's entered the field of bhakti. So now she's moving on the bhakti principle, sankarshan, abhava sankarshan. Her feelings for the Lord and his devotees have been awakened by hearing Shudanam for 2 nights. Now she came early. She's moving by the force of attraction to Krishna. We all attract to Krishna in the form of his name. So she came much earlier than the appointed time. Haradina Sandhya Haiti Takutani. She came at the beginning of the evening. That means like 6:30 PM. Before she came at 11 o'clock at night. Because she couldn't resist. And that happens, you see, as people begin to approach Krishna consciousness, Krishna becomes irresistible. They come slowly or gradually, once a month they go to the temple, then every week, and then every day. Then it's a growing attraction, a growing love affair with the Atma and the Paramatma, expressed as the deity and his servants. One falls in love with the devotees, and one falls in love, at least this is the expression I use, one falls in love with the deity, and a different whole atmosphere is so attractive. Come early, stay late. This is some people, when they go to parties, they come early to the party and they stay late. Some people come late and leave early, like this, but she's coming early and staying late. Tulasi ke takurake namaskara kari dware vasi namashune bale hari hari. So she has her routine, she has her sadhana as per her standard. This is her niyam. First offer obeisances to Tulsi plant, then the Haridas Thakur, then sit down at the doorway. That's her kuti, her bhajan stali. There's a doorway to the saint's room. Thus she began to hear Haridas Thakur's chanting, and she also personally chanted Hari Hari, the holy name of the Lord. Naam porna habe aji, bali Haridas, tabe porna karima aji, tamar abilash. Haridas Thakur informed her, "Today it will be possible for me to finish my rounds. Then I shall satisfy all your desires." Kirtana karite achiratri sheshahaila Thakurera sane veshya ara manafire gela. The night ended while Haridas Thakur was chanting kirtan karite. One would assume that he was chanting quite loudly, kirtan, because it was japa. There's japa and there's kirtan. This is kirtan. Kirtan karite achi ratri shesh, the end of ratri. But by his association, the mind of the prostitute had changed. Well, there's only two options here. In this combination, there's only two options. Either the mind of Haridas Thakur would change, which would be the usual course of events for any ordinary man, or the mind of the prostitute would change. And so in this case, the mind of the prostitute changed and she gave up her ulterior motives. Dandavata hanapore takur charane Ramachandra kanera kata kahila nevedan. The prostitute, now purified, fell at the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur and confessed that Ramachandra Khan had appointed her to pollute him. I'm sure Haridas could have figured that out, that she didn't come there to join the Bhakta program. Veshyahana munipap kariyachanapar kripa kari karamo adame nistar. She said, "Because I have taken the profession of a prostitute, I performed unlimited sinful acts. O my Lord, be merciful to me, deliver my fallen soul." Adame Nistar. Deliver Nistar Adame. I'm in a very low position. Kripa Kari. Please give your mercy. Kripa Kuro. Thakur Kai, Kanera Kata Sava Ami Jani, Agya Morka Sehitari, Dukha Nahi Mani. Then Haridas Thakur replied to his new disciple, "I know everything about the conspiracy of Ramchandra Khan. He is nothing but a Morka, an ignorant fool. Therefore, his activities do not make me feel unhappy." Sedina jaitatma e stana chadiya tindin rahilan tamanistar lagiya. Haridas continued, "On the very day Ramchandra Khan was planning his intrigue against me, I would have left this place immediately.
But because you came to me, I stayed here for 3 days to deliver you. It's very interesting, this number comes up a lot. And it's even mentioned in Puranas. 3 days. 3 days. 3 days has some significance. That we see the story of Gopal Chapala. He interacted with Haridas Thakur, and they challenged Haridas about chanting, loudly chanting. And where does it say like this in the Shastras? The proper way to chant is in your mind, and you should be quiet and don't go around chanting audibly. And then the person, I think it was Gopal Chapala, he said, if this is not found in Shastra, what you're saying, that it's so beneficial, 100 times more beneficial than silent chanting. If your philosophy is not supported by Shastra, then I'll cut you. All right. I said, I will cut your nose off. So what happened, because of this grave Vaishnava Parad, Sadananda, then 3 days later, he who cast the offense came back to him. Just like in Mahabharata and for Kshatriyas, if they throw out a weapon, that weapon has to kill somebody. If it goes out, if that weapon goes out, that arrow goes out and doesn't kill that, it comes back and kills the person. So someone must be bumped off or killed by this mantra. So that when one makes an aparad to someone, it actually comes right back to the person who makes the accusation. So it's so dangerous. So there we have 3 days. And the Puranas, it says, if someone makes an offense to a great soul, they will get the reaction 3 days, 3 months, or maximum 3 years. Sometimes Krishna gives some, depending on the elevation of the person offended, the Vaishnava, how great a Vaishnava he is, how quick the reaction is. But even up to 3 years, one will receive the reaction. Often we've seen also that sometimes some devotees have been very offensive in the society of Vaishnavas. They've been offending a lot of Vaishnavas, but still appear to be standing on 2 feet and moving in somewhat in a straight line. At least not being knocked off their feet or leaving the society or blooping or whatever. Falling in Maya, as they say. So then 1 year goes by, then 2 years, then within 3 years, finished. So this is the negative calculation of 3 days, 3 months, or 3 years. But then we see the positive benefit. That it says, it's in the scriptures, it says if one stays a few moments with a saintly person, a few moments means three, one, two, three. Stays a few moments with a saintly person, he can attain all perfection. Right? Sarusanga, sarusanga, sarvashastra, right? Lavamatra, sarusanga, sarvasiddhi. Lavamatra, sarusanga means a short time, a brief time. Because it only takes a few moments for the sadhu to speak something to you. You might say something, simply do namam, and you'll get everything. This can be, in a few moments, this instruction, if one was to fully surrender to such an instruction and to have full faith, then certainly one would get sarvasiddhi, all perfection. So here the prostitute associated with Haridas just for 3 days. So he could have stayed for 2 days and done a job, but it was 3 days. Because the medicine took 3 days to work with her, so 3 days is also there. And you see a lot when the scriptures say, if you're going on a yatra, if you're going to visit a holy place, what do they say? Of course, this is injunctions for the yatris. Generally, yatras are performed by vanapras. Those in the vanapras, these scriptures are giving guidelines according to the ashram that one is in. So sannyasis and brahmacharis, they generally frequent or live in the holy places. They live there. They don't live in the towns. They live in the... Because these holy places are on top of mountains or in caves or some remote area. Generally, in jungles and forests. And they're away from the big cities and all the where all the people are and all the stores are and all the business and retail outlets are. So grihastas, they have their business and their homes and their schools and hospitals and all these things. So they go on pilgrimage to visit the saints and visit the holy places, and visit the holy places and meet the saints that live there. So the scripture is guiding these yatras for the vanapras. They say they should only go, should not spend more than 3 days in a holy place. A tirtha yatra should be a minimum of 3 days. And they tell you what to do each day. But the why three and not five and ten? And they say the first day it's all new, it's interesting, you're curious, the husband and wife. And then you're doing some darshan and some holy baths. And the second day you do some charity and hear some classes and attend some different functions there. See some deity functions of the temple, maybe parade. The Thakurji goes on parade. And the third day, but then by the third day, everything will be seen familiar. It's a small town, you know your way around, you're seeing everything. Then your husband and wife will start thinking, well, this place is very boring. Maybe we should engage in some fooling around or whatever. So then, before the mind goes off of God and goes to the body of each other, then the grihastas or vanapras, they're enjoying it. Okay, go now. Time to go home. You collected good merit and sukriti in your 2-3 days, now go. Otherwise you'll get restless and you'll get lusty or engage in wrong activities. And that's one of the injunctions when one is on tirtha yatra, that one should be celibate. When one's, otherwise it's an offense to the tirtha, to the holy tirtha, and to the deity which one is petitioning for ashirvad and blessings, that's considered an offense to engage in man-woman dealings. So here, this again, Haridas Thakur, he took 3 days and gave her the full blessings. The full package was there. Bhakti program and everything was done in 3 days. She shaved up. She stayed in the temple for 3 days and shaved up. It happens sometimes. People come for a weekend. They come on Friday with long hair, and then by Monday they have no hair. So this, I guess, this is the first bhakti program, rather unusual program. So he stayed there. So she replied, because this was such a, this is real love. Love doesn't mean physical or carnal pleasure or carnal physical enjoyment. But love means that you really care so much for another person. Love means you care so much for your beloved or so much for another person that you're willing to undergo any type of sacrifice in order to give them the best possible thing. This is love. So Haridas Thakur, he really loved the prostitute. And he loved her fully. And he showed his full love. Because he's a vairagi. He's an Iskenshan sadhu. He stays in this cave or that cave, goes here or there. He's not dependent on anyone. And he doesn't have any fixed place of residence. So he had already known by his Trikalagyan power that this nefarious Ramchandra Khan, the zamindar, was planning to defame him and discredit his position and his as a liberated soul, as a converted Muslim who became a Hindu and a great Hindu saint. He wanted to defile him. So Haridas Thakur was well aware of his dastardly plan or mischievous deed. So he could have left on the spot. If he was selfish and only cared about his own name and fame, he would have left the place rather than suffer the risk of his defamation in the hands of this rascal, Ramchandra Khan. But this conditioned soul, this suffering soul, came to him in a rather unusual package, not exactly asking for spiritual improvement, but engaged in a very low activity with a wrong mind. But he, nevertheless, he didn't consider the cover. Haridas Thakur didn't judge the cover. You can't tell a book by its cover. He didn't look at the cover and say, ooh, this looks like a dangerous number here. Obviously, it would be to any ordinary person. But he thought, oh, this person is suffering. They're totally engrossed in the bodily concept of life. They're absorbed in misconception. They're suffering. Despite her diamond necklaces and her ruby rings and all her finery, fine cloth, this person is suffering. And the greatest medicine to relieve suffering is the Maha Mantra. I have the medicine to cure the disease. Yare Degi Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agaya Guru Hanatarevesh. I should tell her about Krishna. And the best news I can give her about Krishna is to Chaito Darpana Marjanam, to purify her heart. It's a very similar approach that Jayananda used to use in preaching. People used to come to him, or he'd be attracted to the Rath Yatra carts when he was building them, and then they would come to him out of curiosity, just to see momentarily what was going on and make a quick question of inquiry and go on their way. And he would rope them in. He would say, oh, why don't you stay with me? Oh, Haridas, stay with me. Can you help me paint this Rath Yatra cart? So he knew that if they associate with devotees, if they engage in Krishna's service, and they took prasadam, and they heard the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, he knew and had faith that they would become converted, they would become attracted, they would become purified by that association. So in this way, by giving himself, and whenever he worked, or served, rather, he couldn't really call it work, but whenever he served, he was always chanting Ma mantra. And he would just be singing to himself, and the other person's next to him, and they're both painting swans with a stencil, a cardboard stencil. They're painting swans on the side of the side panels of the flooring, the upper floor of the Rath Yatra cart. First they paint blue, and that dries on one side. Then they go to the other side and paint. Then they go to the other side and paint blue. Then back to the first side, and that pink, blue paint is dry. Then he'd say, "Can you hold the stencil?" And he would hold the stencil, and there's three swans on the stencil. Then Jayananda would, while he's painting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And he's painting. And the guy's holding a stencil. What's it? And he says, you know, Hare Krishna, you ever heard this mantra before? And the guy said, yeah, I've heard it. You guys go down the street and say that. Yeah, do you know what it means? He said, no, it wasn't. It means it's a call to love. You know, everyone's looking for love. And he goes, and he's like preaching like this and real simple, and the guy keeps moving the stencil. Then Jayananda says, do you know anything about painting? And he says, yes, once I painted my motorcycle, you know, with some spray paint or whatever. He said, I'll hold the stencil, this cutout with the cutouts, you know, the pieces with the holes in, and you put the paint of the swans. He said, okay, I'll try it. So then he would paint the swans, and then Jayananda says, oh, wow, where did you learn painting? He said, look at how you've done so expertly. You've really done a good job. And because right before that, the guy, you know, this hippie guy, whatever, he said, you know, I have to go in a couple of minutes. I have to go to college or whatever. So then he gave him this, he painted. And then somehow when he got glorified, he said, wow, this is a nice guy. He's appreciating my painting of swans. And he said, okay, can you paint some more swans? And pretty soon they painted all three cards. And he was there all day and night painting swans and hearing the Hare Krishna mantra. Then, of course, Halava came with puris and hot milk about 9 o'clock at night. And then everyone had a big feast. And this way he became Hare Krishna devotee. So exactly this history is repeating itself, beginning with the Namacharya, the propagator of the pure name of the Lord, who's showing the compassionate heart of the Vaishnava, not looking at the cover, but seeing the internal heart and understanding, because he could see, he could judge, like we said, Antaryami Prabhu. He could understand the nature of her heart, Antaryami Prabhu. Just as Lord Chaitanya understood the heart of Gopal Bhattacharya, the younger brother of Bhagavan Acharya, he understood that he's a Mayavadi, and he studied Mayavad philosophy, Chandrakavashya and Benares, and he was envious, and he was an offender to the Lord. So when he met him, he, He showed out, say, oh, nice to meet you. You're the younger brother of my Parishad, of my intimate friend, Bhagavacharya. But you're envious of God. You're an offender. So he examined his heart, and it says, Shukana, Chitana, Sukana Paiva. In his heart, a consciousness, Lord Chaitanya felt unhappy. He didn't feel any happiness. So Haridas Thakur, in a similar way, he studied the heart of this prostitute. And of course, she was expressing her heart by her outward posture. She first came up, besides doing her business, your business is one thing, but your bhakti is another thing. Oh, there's Tulsi. Oh, Dhanabha Tulsi. Vrindai Tulsi Devai, Priyai Kesavasisha, Krishna Bhakti Paradevi, Satyavatai Dhamma. Then, oh, this, they've sent me here. He sent me here. Ramchandra Khan sent me to this cave to make this sadhu fall down with illicit sex. And all he said was, go to this cave outside of town, there's some sadhu there, and you just do your work. So he didn't say anything. But now I've come and I see he's so effulgent, and he's radiating like a transcendental personality. Let me offer my humble obeisances to this great, great saint, great personality. Vancha kopa trubhyascha, kripa sindhu bhayavacha, titanam bhavanibhyo, vaishnavibhyo namonaha. No, she expressed this sincerity of her heart. She expressed the humility, the real condition of her heart. The cover was one thing. So after she paid obeisances at Tulsi and the Haridas, then she stood up in the cave and did her work, displaying her breasts and speaking, oh, you're so handsome. The mantra, she had a whole group of mantras that she's been using for 20 years. So she said, you're so young, you're so handsome. I can't live without you. You're my everything. I'm in love with you. Please have, the same thing she says every night. So she just went into the business mode, the business mode of operation. But Haridas Thakur said, this is all bluff. This is not the real you. You're not a prostitute. You're Krishna Das, Das, Anadas. Dasi, Anadasi, Anadasi. And I'm going to reveal the beauty and purity and sweetness of your real heart, of your true heart. And that's all going to be done by the mercy of Krishna through his holy name. So sit down, watch the magic. So she sat down. And you don't hear anything where she said, will you hurry up already? Are you done this chanting? Hurry up, come on! How long do you think I can wait? She had so many good qualities. Respect, patience, and she heard with rapt attention. She wasn't going. And he's chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's Hare Krishna. She was saying Hari, 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 Hari. All through the night, she was saying Hari, Hari. Hari means come. Hari means thief, thief. Oh, come, take me, Hari. Take me out of this body. Take me out of this sinful life. Liberate me from this terrible karma I'm bound in. Oh, Hari, Hari. So she was chanting in her own way. And the first night she was imitating him, but then later it doesn't say she was imitating, she was chanting. It's Hari, Hari. So this is the story here that's going on. So we heard from his side what the love. So this is the lover laying out his cards. The lover laying out his cards to show his hand before the beloved. I stayed here for you. I remained in this cave for 3 nights because I love you, for your benefit. But I want to help you. I want to give you the best possible. I want to give you the best possible thing you could ever attain. This is genuine love. I'm sacrificing my free time. I didn't really want to stay here any longer. I wanted to go somewhere else. Because you came for your cause, I have stayed. For your welfare, I have remained here. Because I have something to give you. I have attained the Maha Mantra from my Gurudev, from Advaita Acharya, whoever, someone, Shiksha Guru told him, or whatever, he received his Maha Mantra. And I know the magic of this mantra. I was born a Muslim. But this mantra has taken me out of this material world. This mantra has filled me with joy and bliss. Given me 7 great benefits I've attained by chanting this mantra. Chaito Dharvana Marjanam. My consciousness has become purified. Right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapanam. And this mantra I've chanted, oh, prostitute, I chanted this mantra, and my whole material existence, the fire of material existence, has been extinguished by this mantra. Right? These seven benefits are there, described. So these are treasures that I've received by chanting this Shuddha Nam, this Ma mantra. I am wealthy. I'm wealthy with Nam Prem. Of these treasures that I receive from the name, the seven treasures, Chaito Dharpana Marjan, Bhava Mahadavagni Navapana, Shreya, my life has become auspicious and powerful and meaningful. Kairava is like the full beautiful moon shining on my life. My mind is cool, my heart is happy and satisfied. And I can share these treasures with you. I can give these treasures to you. Just hear me. Tat Srinu. Krishna told Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, Tat Srinu, just listen to me, not to your mind, you stupid. You puggle. You've been listening to your mind this whole time. Now, be quiet. Listen to me. So she's been listening to her mind also. Oh, I need fancy clothes. Oh, I need a big house. Oh, I need a sports car. Oh, I need nice jewelry. And then it requires lots of money. So her mind has been dictating unlimited desires. And she's been trying to fulfill them one after another. Now Haridas Thakur is saying, sit down. Oh, sit down. I will fulfill your desires. Tat Srinu, just hear me. Just hear the holy name. Bhagavat Shravan, Shravanam. We say that everything begins with Shravan, hearing. Shravanadasha, hearing from saints. So she's heard. She's become purified. She's become rectified. She's become liberated. Because one cannot submit himself to Guru unless he's liberated. Some extent. He has to be liberated from his mode of life and not want this life anymore. I'm liberated from material life. I want to begin spiritual life. That's a type of liberation. So that type of realization came by her associating with him and hearing this chanting of holy name. So what did she say? Vishikai, Kripa Kari, Kara Upadesh, Kimora Kartavya Jate Jaya Bhava Klesh. The prostitute said, oh Haridas, kindly act as my spiritual master. Instruct me in my duty, by which I can get relief from material existence, bhava klesh, like adiatmika klesh, all the material tribulations and miseries of this bhava sagar, ocean of material misery. Thakur kaye gara dravya, brahmani kara dhan, e gara yasi tumi, karaha vishram, vishram. Haridas Thakur replied, immediately go home and distribute to the Brahmins, Brahman Dan, Karya, Brahman Karadhan, all the dravya, all the objects and articles that you collected by your ill profession. Distribute to the Brahmins whatever property you have, your house, your land, your sports car, your jewelry, everything. Then come back to this room and stay here forever in Krishna consciousness. That's a blessing. That's an upadesha. That's an order and a blessing. Stay here forever in Krishna consciousness. Of course, this is a very much common extended translation. Srila Prabhupada's Bhav, this is a Bhav translation because it's everywhere like that. Sanskrit is a language, but Sanskrit is also full of Bhav. So according to the bhava of the translator, he can enter into the bhava of the language and bring out the bhava. So the translator is not on the level of bhava, then he can't bring out the bhava in the language. So therefore, if you look at the word per word, Thakur kahi, garera dravya brahmane karadhan. Gar, your dravya, all the objects, furniture, and jewelry and clothing in your gar, dravya, all the objects in your gar, kara brahmandan, you should donate them to Brahmins, brahmandan, charity. Egarayasi to me, kara vishram. And you should sleep, vishram, you should sleep in this gar, egari, kara, you should asi, asi to me, kara vishram. You should come here and rest, vishram, stay here. Vishram Ghat. Doesn't say forever in Krishna consciousness. It says, then come back to this room, bas. Then Prabhupada says, and stay here forever in Krishna consciousness. So then, therefore, the envious, the non-realized, and the anadikaris will look at this and say, oh, Srila Prabhupada's translation is bogus. It's not accurate. But they're unfortunate that say such things. So this is the fact that the perfection of life for a disciple is to live in the bhajan kutir of their Gurudev. There couldn't be a more powerfully surcharged place in the entire universe to execute one's bhakti bhajan than the bhajan stali of a Siddha Mahatma who by chance may be their guru. This is told everywhere, and many great saints have come to sit next to the bhajan stalis of great saints and do their own bhajan, or next to their samadhis. So he said, give up that property, give up that temporary property of your house and palace that you've acquired by your prostitution business, and come and take this house, this bhajan stali, bhajan kuti. Because this place is eternal, bhajan kuti is eternal, because bhajan is eternal. So he's telling her, so that's... Well, he gave her one other instruction. Nirantara nam lao, kara tulasi sevan, achirat pabe tabe, krishnera charan. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra continuously and render service to the tulsi plant by watering her and offering prayers to her. In this way you will very soon get the opportunity to be sheltered at the lotus feet of Krishna. Achirat pabe tabe krishnera charan. Pabe, you will get pabe krishna charan, tulsi sevan. Nam lao, nirantar, nirantar nam lao, tulsi sevan. Very simple process to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Not very costly. It doesn't require elaborate 30 crore mandirs and 25 sets of deities and all kinds of expenses. Tulsi plant you can get free. You can beg a tulsi plant from any Brahmin or any garden. People come here sometimes and they say, oh, do you have a tulsi plant? Some nice people from the neighborhood or whatever. So one tulsi plant, you need an ear. And to attain perfection, attaining Krishna's plant, we need an ear. Or two is good also. Two ears, one tongue, and one tulsi plant. Right? Two ears, one tongue, and one tulsi plant. Don't even need any beads. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Oh, you need some water also. You have to put water on tulsi. Simple program. Very nice. Although Krishna, so this is the magic formula for surrender. Although Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto his lotus feet, because of people's sinful activities, they cannot do this. Namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama. Rascals and fools, the lowest of men who engage in sinful activities, cannot suddenly surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Nevertheless, if they begin chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and rendering service unto the tulsi plant, they will very soon be able to surrender. So this is interesting, that how to develop the adhikar to approach the lotus feet of Guru. How can I attain Guru? How can I qualify to attain Guru? Bhakti begins at the lotus feet of Guru, Guru Parashraya. But I'm very sinful. I'm a rascal and a fool, and I'm lowest among men. But I find this very difficult. Is there any magic formula for surrender? So Prabhupada said, this is the magic formula. Render some service to Tulsi and chant Hare Krishna. And see what happens. Oftentimes people, or let's say rather devotees, they ask us, they say, we're going back to wherever Dham, they're going back to. And they say, we don't like so much wherever Dham. We want to stay here in Braj forever. Or at least we want to come back. So can you give us any special way we can come back? Special mantra or some special blessing. I said, it's not very difficult. Every day you worship Tulsi and pray to Tulsi. Vilas Kunj. Please, oh Tulsi, please allow me to go to Vrindavan very soon. And we've heard a lot of success stories. That people, it's an obvious thing to say, it's nothing very esoteric. But oftentimes you'd be surprised that people get caught up in their work and family duties in the West and they don't pay so much attention to Tulsi. She's there and they pick leaves for offering and they may or not do puja once in a while, whatever. But she may not even be there in the house. That's also possible. Generally not. Generally she's there. But when they formally develop this regular puja and worship and prarthana, praying to Tulsi with a specific sankalpa, oh Tulsi, please bless me that I can go back soon to Vrindavan and do service in Vrindavan and become purified in Vrindavan. And by the mercy of Vrindavan and the saints living there and the effect of the holy abode, may all these things combine to increase my attachment to Krishna and increase my service to Radha Krishna. I'm praying for this opportunity to advance in spiritual practice, to advance in bhakti bhajan. I understand that living in Vrindavan is very favorable, and I feel it also when I go there. I feel very encouraged by the atmosphere. I feel very supported, and my faith increases and my attachment increases. So I want to go back as soon as possible. Tulsi Devi, please bless me. Please help me. But frankly speaking, most people don't have this, or most devotees don't have this sincerity of purpose. They don't really want to run back to Vrindavan. They don't really, in their hearts of hearts, want to live in Vrindavan. They say, oh yeah, I love Vrindavan. I bought a t-shirt. My t-shirt says on the back side of the t-shirt, I love Vrindavan. It's painted there. You saw it. It's Krishna playing a flute. I wear it when I walk around Adelaide and Paris and places like this. But if you love Vrindavan so much, what are you doing in Paris? Well, what are you doing in New York? It's like saying, the guy is wearing a t-shirt, I love Mary. And then you say, where's Mary? You're in New York. You say, oh, you love Mary. There's the name of a girl, Mary. Or Sunita, Indian name. I love Sunita. And you're wearing a t-shirt. And everyone says, oh, who's Sunita? Where is she? Oh, she's in France. She's in France. You're in New York. How much do you love her? Well, you know, too much. You love her so much, you want to stay in New York and she stays in France. So I wear a t-shirt, I love Vrindavan, but you're 10,000 miles living away from Vrindavan. That's a very funny thing. Probably don't even know what they're wearing. But if we are actually sincere about our purpose or our intention of residing in Vrindavan and engaging in bhakti bhajan, then Tulsi will be very favorable. Because Tulsi, she likes to see the population of Vrindavan increase and fill up with pure devotees of the Lord. Because Tulsi is always arranging for Leela. That's one of her engagements. And this is one of Prabhupada's engagements also. He's always arranging for Leela. He's always engaging so many pastimes here on this planet, bringing Jagannath to the people and bringing people to the Janmashtami and Lord Chaitanya festivals in San Francisco. Everywhere engaging people in Krishna's festivals and leelas. So Prabhupada's doing that in the spiritual world also. So helping Vrindadevi arrange for the leelas and calling for the pastimes. This is one of his sevas. So if someone comes to Vrindavan and they want to engage in a leela, enhance the leela. How to enhance the leela? What can we do to enhance the leela? Well, when the leela is going on, especially Ras Leela, so many mandris and gopis are singing. What are they singing? They're not singing rhythm and blues and jazz and mood music and fusion and all these things. They're singing Sankirtan. They're singing holy names. So if we chant in the mood of Ras Leela, in the mood of Kirtan, then we're living in Vrindavan, we're nourishing the leela with our Kirtan. We're nourishing a leela with our seva bhava, with our thoughts. So these type of personalities, Vrindadevi wants to live in Vrindavan. She wants to increase the population of Brijvasis, genuine Brijvasis. Nowadays, the genuine Brijvasis are 6.5 feet tall, and they're born in Stalingrad and St. Petersburg, and they're from Russia and Germany and France and all kinds of places. These are the actual Brijvasis. And the people with the brown skin and Indian names that live here, it's hard sometimes to figure out what they are exactly. know, they're, let's say they're covered Vrijavasis. They don't seem to be revealing their inner attachment to Krishna. They seem to be absorbed in the external world too much, for the most part. And a lot, of course, it's not their fault to some extent, because of the advertising and the emphasis on consumerism has kind of polluted them. And their simple and pure hearts have been contaminated with cable TV and all these other nonsense technological imports that have corrupted their thinking and natural flow of devotion towards Krishna. So, of course, there must be some desire there also. Because you do what you want, basically. So, that's the instruction of Haridas Thakur. Nirantara nam lal kar tulasi sevan achirat bhavi tave Krishna acharan. So, do you believe it? Do we believe it? Do we have vishwas and the sadhu shiksha and the instructions of the saint, of the Thakur, the Namacharya? He is a Namacharya. Do we have faith in what he says? Do we believe it? That if we always chant the holy name and worship Tulsi Sevan, then we'll see the Lord, we'll have Saksha Darshan of Krishna's everything, especially his feet. We'll attain his feet. Do we believe it? So that's one of the three requirements or elements that are necessary to attain fulfillment of some vow. So we also take strength from this order of Haridas and try to pay a lot of attention to Tulsi. And frankly speaking, I really admire the way the Tulsi is so much worshipped. I think I would like to say, on the record, off the record, or whatever, that the worship of Tulsi by the Western devotees is a big part of their spiritual, why they're so spiritually advanced, and why they're so easily able to come to Vrindavan. Because generally, in every temple around the world, which I've seen, a few that I've seen, is that Tulsi is taken care of in a grand way, usually in a very grand way. We were temple president in a place in Baltimore, Maryland. We were spending $1,000 a month on heating bill for the Tulsi house. $1,000 a month just to heat the green, and there was like a house to keep Tulsi warm. There was snow all over the ground and everything. And so much elaborate, you know, many costs in lighting, special lighting and all these things. Because Tulsi's like part of the family. Like, say you have a daughter, and then you want another child, but you can't have one. So then you adopt one boy. So it's not that your daughter, you'll feed her twice a day, and the orphan boy you adopt, you only feed him once. Well, he's like, we adopted him, so you'll feed him three times a day, you'll give him equal care and love. So the devotees, they treat Tulsi just like she's a family member, like she's one of the devotees. In fact, she's the queen. She's the queen of the temple, and we're like the maidservants. That's the higher end of appreciation and service of Tulsi. So I believe that Tulsi has really blessed all the devotees by allowing us all to come to Vrindavan. Vrindavan. Srimati Tulsi Maharani ki. Yeah.